The scripture reading this morning comes from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, we'll begin reading with verse 10. Now I encourage you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, agree with one another and don't be divided into rival groups. Instead, be restored with the same mind and the same purpose. My brothers and sisters, Chloe's people, gave me some information about you, that you are fighting with each other. What I mean is this, that each one of you says, I belong to Paul, I belong to Apollos, I belong to Cephas, I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in Paul's name? Thank God that I didn't baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that nobody can say that they were baptized in my name. Oh, I baptized the house of Stephanas too. Otherwise, I don't know if I baptized anyone else. Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the good news. And Christ didn't send me to preach the good news with clever words or so that Christ's cross would be emptied of its meaning. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are being destroyed, but it is the power of God to those of us who are being saved. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Why this reading from 1 Corinthians in the season of Epiphany? It is the opening chapter of Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth. They were a church that had been plagued with issues that threatened their fellowship. Paul knows that this cannot be ignored. He was wrestling with consequences that caused deep wounds of division within the church. It just goes to show you, conflict within the church is nothing new. From the first century church until today, resolving conflict remains a relevant message. It needs and deserves attention whenever and wherever it becomes an issue. But why is this scripture appointed as a text for the season of Epiphany? At first glance, it seems this may be a social or spiritual faux pas. Here we are thinking about who Jesus is and why he came. Here we are looking for the promise and the power of God that has come and continues to stand with us in the presence of Christ. Why pick today to think about congregational conflict? I mean, isn't conflict kind of like Jesus said about the poor, you'll have it with you always? Picking this passage from 1 Corinthians seems like it is little more than taking some random side road that is sure to become a diversion, causing undue delay in our ongoing search for the right place to discover the presence of Christ among us. In his comments on today's scripture reading, John Squires writes, "The themes of illumination and revelation are in the forefront during the season of Epiphany." In the epistle of 1 Corinthians, there is no specific reference to illumination or revelation as per the theme of the season. Then again, it may be a mistake to jump to the conclusion that this scripture passage is as lost as the Magi on their quest to find the Christ child. Perhaps thinking that this is a glitch in our spiritual GPS is but a symptom of our own John the Baptist syndrome. Maybe this is actually just another example of our failure to recognize the disclosure of where we can know and how we can make known the presence of Christ. It's just a guess, but I think Paul would have been more than a little frustrated by any confusion regarding whether the focus of his letter to the Corinthians holds any relevancy for Epiphany. He would have trouble believing that when it comes to knowing and making known the presence of Christ, we would think that fellowship within a congregation is a wrong place to look on our quest. In fact, Paul is more likely to have suggested that the church is the first place to look for the presence of Christ. The reason Paul responded so strongly to the conflict within the Corinthian church is because he realized what was at stake. Because of the division in their fellowship, they would fail to recognize the presence of Christ in their midst. Because of the ongoing conflict, they would be unable to make the presence of Christ known to others. For Paul, writing about fellowship in the church was, in fact, writing first and foremost about the illumination and revelation per the theme of the season of Epiphany. How could we have been so blind? How could we have failed to understand? Why should we be surprised that one of the places we should recognize the presence of Christ is in the body of Christ, the church? Turns out this may be more of an appropriate Epiphany text than we might have first thought. Paul might even go so far as to say that what happens at the church should be proof enough of who Christ is and that he can be found here. So what will it take for the church to become a place where Christ is known and where Christ is made known? Paul knew for the church to be more fully the incarnation of Christ, conflict had to be resolved. While Paul will get into some specific conflict resolution tips, here in the opening chapter of 1 Corinthians, he provides a general approach for establishing a congregation which fosters the recognition of Christ. Early on, he establishes the cross as being a central paradigm for the church as community. For Paul, the cross is the benchmark for understanding how believers are to behave, how they are to relate to one another, and how the community that they form is to be described. Well, how does the image of the cross build community? As we look at the solitary image of the cross, it seems to be a lonely and individual pursuit. But it is in the pursuit of the cross that we find community. It is easy enough to see the way of the cross as a lonely path, but here is another of the contradictions of the cross. By walking that lonely way, we find one another. It may well be a solitary image, but the cross, and in the cross, we meet our own Simons of Cyrene. Those whom we meet along the way who carry not only their own crosses, but also help us carry ours. We too take on the character of Simon of Cyrene at the cross, carrying the crosses of others as well as our own. It is in the cross and in the carrying of the cross that we find spiritual community, those ready to help when you are weighted down, those to whom we lend a shoulder with their crosses. The fact of the matter is that when we walk with one another, when we carry one another's crosses, when we seek the support of others beneath the weight of our own cross, when we find one another, what we really encounter is the very presence of Christ. That is when community truly becomes an incarnation of the presence of Christ. Caring for one another is proof enough of who Christ is and that he is yet present with us. The cross speaks clearly to us a message about human nature. Paul writes in verse 18 that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are being destroyed, but it is the power of God for those of us who are being saved. During the Epiphany season, we seek light and truth and goodness. We seek the presence and power of Christ who stands in our midst even now. And, like the Magi, we are ready to bow down and worship once we have found it. Yet we are not always able to recognize it when it is right in front of us. Like John the Baptist and his failure to recognize who Jesus was because of his own familiarity and preconceived misconceptions, we might look at, say, our own congregational life and fail to see the presence and power of Christ that abides right here in our congregation. In preparation for the upcoming congregational meeting, our annual report has been compiled. It was emailed earlier this week, and it's on our website. There are a few copies in print for those who can't access it electronically. It contains reports from the congregational leaders and pictures of our life together during the previous year. It is a much-needed reminder of what just happened, whether we noticed it or not. Stuff that we may have participated in, but in our haste to move on, we might not have given another thought. Stuff that was so ordinary that it has already slipped from our memory. Stuff with significance that we might not have seen the first time around. Stuff that we saw but didn't look closely enough to recognize the presence of Christ that was standing with us through it all. I want to encourage you to look through that annual report if you haven't yet. If you have, look at it again, carefully, as you look at the reports and the pictures. See what just happened. See some of the many ways that we found each other. Ways we have been community. But look closer. Look closely enough that you begin to see the presence and the power of Christ that are found right here in our congregation. Look with eyes and heart wide open. Look at the reports, the pictures, again. When you see the worship, when you see the service and ministry, when you see the caring, when you see the connection, when you see the joy, experience your own moment of epiphany and say with John the Baptist, "Look, the Lamb of God, and we didn't even recognize him." Fall down in a spirit of wonder and worship like the Magi in the presence of God's light and goodness that shines upon us and within us. The life and work of this congregation is proof enough of who Jesus is and that he stands present in all that we do. Who we are and what we do reveals the presence of Christ. In this community, we have come to know Christ more fully. All that we do together and the way that we do it makes Christ known. Christ is present in us because we are, indeed, the body of Christ. Thanks be to God.